Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
All right, it's Wendy Snyder here in for John Williams, and I am honored to have Terry Savage with us for the whole Wintrust Business Lunch. Hi, Terry.
Hello, this is like the olden days when you were in the office right next door when we were all in the Trip Tower. This,
yes.
Good to be with you again.
I am so happy to have you. All right, can I just start by saying, for the business, I don't know a lot about numbers, money, I don't save, I'm terrible. So I want to give you props because every time I listen to you on the air, I heard you with Lisa Dent yesterday, you make things so easy to understand that you really kind of make me want to start doing the right thing.
Wendy, you know, I started with you about, must be 5 or 6 years
ago. Yeah.
That is my goal. It's not that I have a great insight into where the markets are going or I have any special talent at trading. Believe me, I was down on the floor. If I were a great trader, I'd still be there. I think my gift is understanding and being able to explain. So today, Pete Zimmerman, our wonderful producer, who if you call in, you get to talk to Pete, sent me a text. He said, got any bullet points of things you might want to discuss with Wendy today? And I gave him three. It's like door number one, door number two, door number three, and of course, we'll take all the questions. But let me give you those three doors, and you can pick one, and maybe every segment will start with just a 45-second riff on what's going on. The three doors are, number one, the debt ceiling. What is this? Door number two, Social Security. Is it really going broke? And door number three, I-bonds. Why do I have to hurry and do it right now?
This isn't as fun as Let's Make a Deal, I got to tell you.
So it is like Let's Make a Deal. That's a door number one, two, and three. You're making a deal with your whole money with all of these.
Well, all right, I'm going to sound really stupid during this show, so I'm going to tell you that right now. What is the debt ceiling thing? I mean, is it bad that I don't know exactly? Could you explain it to me?
Nobody knows exactly what it is, but we, you know, just like you have a budget and you only have a credit limit on you have a line of credit on your credit card beyond which you cannot spend, theoretically America has that. And then every time we bump up against it, wouldn't it be great if you could call Chase or whatever it is and say, you know, I've already charged $4,982. I've got a $5,000 limit. Could you do me a favor and extend it by another $5,000? And they said, oh, yeah, sure. No problem. That's the debt ceiling on your credit card. But the United States government for many, many, many years has said, oops, we're at the debt ceiling. Let's all agree to raise it because the debt ceiling allows us to pay the bills that we've already spent. We have to borrow money to do that, selling treasury bills, notes, and bonds. And we promise that next year we'll get a budget together and we won't spend as much and we'll actually pay down some of our debt. We have raised or suspended the debt ceiling every year since 2011. And because the way our Congress, our laws work, both parties in Congress have raised or suspended the debt ceiling every year when this happens. And it's gotten more and more rancorous. I'll say the political part, but let me tell you the financial part. The political part is a bunch of idiots. Okay? I say no more about the political side. But the financial consequences are really serious for a couple of reasons. First of all, the idea that we would... Wait, let me back up. You know what this reminds me of, Wendy? You'll get this, and everybody will. You get your credit card bill, and a couple is sitting there going, you charge that. You bought more stuff for your fishing equipment. And the other one says, but you went out clothes shopping. You said you weren't going to do that. Well, we did it. Well, I'm not paying the bill. In the meantime, your credit gets ruined.
Well, yeah, somebody has to pay the bill.
Okay, so pay the darn bill and then say, okay, now we're going to set up a process and we're going to be disciplined. We're going to have a budget. Okay, that's the way it should work. And Congress is arguing over, you spent that. If we don't raise the debt ceiling or suspend it, we will have a real financial crisis, not just because we won't be able to pay the military and the public servants and so forth, but we won't be able to roll over our debt, those treasury bills, notes and bonds, those IOUs. And that will call the United States is the central strongest place in the world. It's where all the money comes when it's frightened. It comes to buy T-bills and when it's scared about what's going on in Europe or what's going on in China or whatever. Money rushes to the U.S. If we were ever to default and not roll over our debt, it would just be financial chaos. And domestically, we're sort of on the bubble for a recession. The last thing we would need is the government pulling back spending that it's set to do and slowing the economy. That would really tip us into a recession. So, yeah, it's wrong that we overspent. Well, I don't want to argue with anybody right about that. I agree 100%. But we did that. Now let's raise the debt ceiling, solve this problem, and then let them argue over what to spend the money on for the year ahead.
All right. Well, that makes sense to me. See, you have this magical way of doing it.
Okay, you got that. I mean, it's just, this is insane that our elected representatives are doing this. And, you know, I read an interesting article that said, you know, reporters are wrong when they say it's both sides of the aisle. Yeah, I try and stay away from politics. But the debt, paying off our debt and rotating it is not a subject for debate. The budget itself is a subject for a big debate. So let's get past this and stop this brinksmanship. And then, yeah, let's have a big fight over what taxes you want to raise, what taxes you want to cut, what spending you don't want to do, where you don't want to cut. Nobody, everybody agreed, whoa, we're not cutting Social Security and Medicare. Forget cutting. We need to get more money in those.
Should I be worried about Social Security? Is Social Security going broke, Terry?
Yes.
Great.
And no.
Okay, let you go.
Or no and yes. Actually, no, you should not be worried about Social Security, even though you're a baby and it's a long ways off for you. But yes, it is going broke. So why should you not worry? Because we will fix it. Just like it's unthinkable that we would default on our debt, which is an immediate problem in the next 3 months, it becomes critical. There are good ways to fix Social Security. And I know a lot of people, but we should give out the phone number because a lot of people have questions on that. I really do want to get to them. But the fact of the matter is we have 10 years until there's no more money in the pot. And what we will be able to pay in benefits out going out will only come from what workers are paying in, which would likely, according to the trustees, reduce promised benefits significantly, about 20%. So that's not the question. That's likely not going to happen. But there are a dozen ways, and if you go to terrysavage.com, we can figure out how to save Social Security. And guaranteed, if you read, well, I put in 8 of them. And I guaranteed if you read that column, one of them, I said, will make you scream. So it's not going to please anyone, but things like raising the retirement age, increasing the amount of wages subject to the payroll tax, which stops at $160,000, so wealthier people don't pay that, both sides of FICA. There are just a bunch of solutions, so maybe we could get past this debt ceiling, create a reasonable budget, and then focus on the things our legislators should think about, which is you've got a 10-year window here to do things that could basically help Social Security out. But let's not shut everybody out. Everybody wants questions. So I can never remember the number, Wendy.
It is 312-981-7200. You don't have that tattooed on you?
I can see my brain. But when I get started thinking about things financial, I drop that.
I know. Well, 847 says, hi, I quit my job last year, off for 3 months and back to work. Does that affect my Social Security? My guess would be yes.
Well, yeah, you won't have had contributions, and your Social Security benefits are ultimately based on the number of quarters you worked. You have to have 40 working quarters, but if you're young enough, that shouldn't make a difference. And if you work hard and make more money in the years ahead, that one won't even be noticeable when they finally calculate your benefits.
All right, Terry Savage is on the line with us, and I did want to mention that a new edition of your best-selling book, The Savage Truth on Money, is now available on Amazon. I saw that in an email I got, so good for you on that. And somebody wanted to express thanks to you, if I may just throw this in here. 312, I wanted to express my thanks to Terry. My sister-in-law, who lost her husband recently, sent an email concerning how she should make investments, and Terry got back to her within 2 days. Thank you, Terry. And you are so good at helping out the listeners in that way.
I think that's what I'm supposed to be doing with this point in my life. So if you want to post questions, I have something called Ask Terry button at terrysavage.com. And, you know, I get in the mood and I stay up late and I answer 5 or 10 or 12 of them, and then I go on to the next day.
Well, we appreciate it, and so do the listeners. And we have a caller right now. Jerry is on the line with us. He has a question for you about Social Security. Hi, Jerry.
Good afternoon.
Right back at you.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. It's a simple question. When I pass away, does my wife have any share in my Social Security payment?
Yes, she will get your Social Security, assuming that hers isn't bigger.
No, hers is not bigger.
Yeah.
Will she get the entire amount?
Yep. And one of the reasons couples might want to wait, that and the highest earning couple might want to wait till age 70, is, this is kind of sexist, but so are the actuarial tables. If, in fact, the higher earning person is a man, then the actuarial tables say he will pass first, and his higher benefit will go on to the spouse. So there's a great website, okay? It's called MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. And if you will go there and run through it, it costs $39 to do it. It will take your personal information and run it through and give you the correct answer to all your Social Security decisions.
Well, one last little question. Will she receive my benefit for her life?
It depends on a lot of things. So in general, yes. Okay. But in general, yes. But it depends on what her benefits were. So you really need to go through the process.
All right. Well, at least that's good information to start off with. Thank you
right.
very much.
As a matter of fact, if you have dependents, young dependents, they would also get a benefit.
Oh, my goodness. No wonder it's running out of money.
That's a good point. Jerry, thank you. So glad Terry could help. We have like a minute here, but 312 has just made an interesting point. They texted us, I'm 64 years old, and you just said Social Security might be in trouble in 10 years. Should I take it early?
No. No, no, no.
When do you ever say yes about taking it early? I've never heard you say that.
Because it's a big penalty. Because it's about an 8% increase a year, about 73% increase in your base check. And after you get to full retirement age, for many people out there, will be about 67, any minute that is. Then if you can wait 3 more years, you get a much larger base check. And that base is what they will apply the cost of living increase to down the road. Now, this is really important. If you have other retirement money, spend it first and delay. Even though I just said to you there's going to be a problem, because we will fix the problem. One of the ways they might fix it is printing money, which means inflation, which means you want the highest base. And a lot of people say, is this a math problem? I know we're coming to the end here, Belisa, but Wendy, but... A lot of people say it's a math problem. I should start getting it now while the getting is good. Really, I want it now. What if I only live? If you are terminal and you think you won't make it to 70.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, that's one thing. But otherwise, the real need for Social Security is not immediately, even though you think you do. The real need will come when you're 87, 88, 91, 92. Do you want to bet against yourself? You always thought you were above average. You might just live to be 92. You'll want the bigger base check and the bigger cost of living increase.
Terry, we have a bunch of texts, including one right now from Eric Rung, WGN-TV's Eric Rung.
Ah, isn't hello, Eric.
Yeah, I love Eric. Isn't the debt ceiling something that Congress could just do away with, and why don't they? Or actually, can they make it so it automatically gets lifted without all the brinkmanship?
You know, we would do away with the fantasy, the fiction, the pretense that we could just spend as much money as we want without limitation. It's, yes, Eric, you're always insightful. It's a construct. It's meant to try at least to rein in spending. But here are the things that are up for grabs, okay? I mean, nobody in both parties passed, you know, stimulus checks, for example. Where do you think that money came from? That added a couple of $1 trillion, all the PPP loans and all those, you know, the money that was sent out to the states. But they, where did they get that? They literally printed. Actually, the Fed accommodated, bought government securities, and paid for it with newly created liquidity into the banking system. I mean, yes, the debt ceiling is a fiction over which they can fight while they ignore truly important things like a budget. So the president has sent his budget to Congress. The Republicans have danced around it. And what they say is up in the air. They don't want to, and you know, maybe they're right. This is what has to be debated. Everybody agrees no Social Security and Medicare cuts, but they don't want student loan forgiveness. They are looking at some of the money that was authorized to be sent to the states. Tell me how you think Illinois is, quote, Sheila Weinberg of Truth in Accounting would disagree, has a, quote, balanced budget, because money sent from the federal government to the states, well, some of it hasn't been sent out. They don't want that to go out. Green tax credits. But the Republicans don't want to have tax credits for green energy. Those are real issues that they could debate and make a deal and trade off on in the budget. But you're right, Eric, the debt ceiling is it's a kind of a fiction. It's Santa Claus. The debt ceiling is equivalent to Santa Claus. Believe in it if you want.
I believe. Okay. 312, I signed up in January for Social Security as I turned 66 in 4 months this month. I expected payment this month and didn't get it. I went to the website. It says my claim was in review. And when can I expect a payment?
Well, you want to make sure that you do not even get your benefits a month before the month in which you reach your full retirement age, because that will permanently impact your benefits. It's tough to get through to Social Security. I don't know exactly what the month is that you qualify, but it will. And if you put in a bank account, it will probably come the next month after the month in which you reach full retirement age. So I don't quite know what to tell you now, but you definitely don't want it to come early.
815, if I apply for Social Security and change my mind, can I delay taking it? That's a great question.
You have to go back within a year, and it depends, again, on whether you claimed your benefits or it's very complex. I'm not trying to sell this service. I always am very careful and hedge my comments because there are so many caveats, and even Social Security gets it wrong. But if you will go to MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. Larry Kotlikoff, the famed economist, we're working together on a project about Social Security horror stories. If you have one where they're trying to claw back their errors and make you pay, I'll post that on my Ask Terry blog. But they make so many mistakes. You need to go to this website, MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. Calculate the difference between what your benefits would be if you applied early or later, and then they can give you advice there about how to reorganize it, but you must do it immediately.
All right. This is another great question from 708 texts. I am 62 years old. I work 65 to 72 hours a week, which I'm assuming I will pay more into Social Security when I retire. Are my payments going to be larger, or is it a set amount for everyone?
Well, everyone's payments are recalculated every year. If you've been paying more in and you have higher earning quarters than the ones that drop off, and there's a formula that's used, I can't remember the name of it, it's a weird name. So theoretically, if they were correct and did everything correctly, if you're earning more now, that adds to your benefits. If you're delaying your benefits, yeah, it will increase your benefit.
All right, I think I know how you're going to answer this one. 847, it sounds to me like one of the questions on Social Security is how long can you afford to wait to take it? If I have to eat cat food for 3 years to maximize, is it worth it? You're going to say yes.
No, I'm not going to say that. Okay. Look, half of the people who get Social Security rely on it for 90% of their income. So it's very casual. I'm glad that person who texted brought this up. It's very casual of me to sit here and say, use your IRA money first.
Right.
You're going to pay taxes on it and then wait and delay because you get a bigger base on Social Security. I am well aware. Look, I'm going to tell you a savage truth here.
Please do.
I can't convince a lot of people. I could not convince my own brother to wait till his full retirement age.
That he surprises me.
He lives very simply. He wanted to retire. I mean, think of Thanksgiving dinners. Think of the discussion. There was just no arguing with him. And what can I say? If you really, A, need this money to live on and you can't work anymore, you have an illness, there are lots of reasons people take Social Security early. About 30% of beneficiaries take it early. And they sort of get some of that back if they continue to work and are penalized. They get a little bit of that back in the formula after they do reach full retirement age. But you are penalized if you keep working and take it early. And if you cannot afford to do something else, then you do what you have to do. If you ask me, I have a choice. I could start withdrawing from my IRA now and wait a couple more years and take Social Security. If you have that choice, make the smart choice, because Social Security is the only benefit you will get that is indexed for inflation.
Well, that's good advice. And of course, you're not going to tell somebody to eat cat food. That is the bottom line. If you can't afford it, you've got to do what you have to do.
And I recognize that many people, you know, this is not a choice that many people have.
Right.
I know you're going to go to break, but I want to tease what's coming after.
Okay.
Hurry up if you're going to buy Series I bonds this year. Hurry up. I'll tell you why after Wendy's break.
All right. Perfect, Terry. And the Wintrust Business Minute, here is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Molson Coors is reportedly in talks to move its headquarters to a smaller space about a block away. The company is eyeing 70,000 square feet in BMO Tower at 320 South Canal. That's right across the river from its current space at 250 South Wacker. Space is about half the size of its current 167,000-square-foot headquarters. The 52-story BMO Tower opened last year. The deal's still being negotiated and could still fall apart. The hearing aid company Beltone has moved its headquarters from Glenview to Chicago. Cranes reports the company is also scaling down its office space. Beltone's new headquarters is at 656 West Randolph. It had been in the northern suburbs since 2005. The company scaled down office space from 49,000 square feet to just 7,000 square feet. Beltone shares the space with a research and development division of its parent company, GN Group. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
And the business of food with Steve Alexander.
No, thank you. We're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. These last couple of days, we've been talking about the horrific injuries and scarring that can happen when kids are scalded by hot food.
It's been described as a fate worse than death.
Dr. Kyron Quinlan of Rush Medical Center shared with us the frustration of doctors and others in Chicago burn units who treat scalded children because the injuries are preventable. Just keep the kids away. And that goes for cooking on the deck or patio, too. Grilling injuries send more kids to the hospital than any other age group. So, for some safety tips, we called a grilling expert at Weber in Palatine.
Dustin Green, head grillmaster.
And out in the backyard, kids will be kids.
Maybe they're running around doing what they're doing, but if you just kind of keep them at distance to begin with, and there's a certain age that, trust comes into play, but just to begin with, you know, recommend just keeping the young ones not around it.
He says that caution applies to pets, too. And some common sense safety tips for adults?
With gas, you really want to make sure your grill's connected properly, make sure you don't have any leaks.
And?
You want to be careful with what you're wearing around a grill. You know, you don't want to be wearing really loose clothing, anything that's going to kind of hang over, you know, while you're opening the grill or to flip your food or move it around.
Gloves are recommended. Weber makes them.
This just helps protect your hands from anything that just might be in there, and they're good for up to about 500 degrees.
And here's one that seems like a no-brainer.
Just making sure you're outside. Obviously, you don't want to grill in an enclosed space.
Yeah, but I know people who grill in their garage when it's raining.
We don't recommend it. I mean, you definitely shouldn't.
By the way, no surprise here, most of the adults injured in grilling accidents are men. although a woman I know lost her eyebrows and some of her hair when her gas grill flared up.
When I'm starting up that gas grill, I want to make sure that I open the lid. And this kind of goes back to grilling in general, but if you do happen to have a little bit of a flare or a little bit of a thermal event happen in your grill, the best thing to do is to cut off the oxygen to it.
Timely advice from Weber Grillmaster Dustin Green, because
as soon as that weather changes, everybody gets antsy.
Yeah, like those 80s last week. From the farm to your belly, today's National Garlic Day and National Banana Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
It's Wendy Snyder sitting in for John Williams today. And on Wednesdays, we have nationally syndicated financial columnist and author Terry Savage on with us. And I am very thankful to have you for the full hour today, Terry.
I love having the time with all our listeners.
It's
okay,
great.
So this is a big one. I don't want to go through this again. I just sent off an email to my contact at Treasury saying, here we go again, because we were up very, very late at the Friday night at the end of October when everybody was racing to get into Series I bonds. Now, let me back up. The rate on I bonds changes November 1st and May 1st. It's announced on those dates. Last year at this time, in the summer, the interest rate on Series I bonds was an unbelievable 9.62%. And if you bought them before November 1st last year, you got 6 full months. It didn't matter if you bought them in July or August or October 17th. You got 9.62% for 6 full months. We knew that on November 1st, the rate would go down. And it did. It went down to 6.89%.
Wow.
And if you bought them November 3rd or December 1st, and remember, you can only buy $10,000 worth in a calendar year. So maybe you'd bought some at 9.62% early in the year, and you waited till January and bought your $10,000 more at 6.89%. You're going to get 6 full months of that 6.89%. However, the rate is going to change again on May 1st. And ta-da, I'm here to tell you the rate is likely to be down around 4% for the coming 6 months. So if you are one of those who likes to buy the full amount, and I'll remind you of some of the caveats here, of $10,000 max, and you want to get the first 6 months before it drops down to whatever the rate is that's announced May 1st at 6.89%, go now to treasurydirect.gov and buy your savings bonds. How do you do that if you're new to this? Go to terrysavage.com, and on the right-hand side under financial links, you'll see a box that says everything you have to know about Series I bonds. You buy them not at the bank anymore. You buy them through treasurydirect.gov. Quick couple of points. If you buy them now and you get 6.89%, then the next six-month period, after the 6 months is up, which will be late in October, you will then get, let's just suppose the rate is 4%, maybe a little higher, maybe even be a little lower, and they may change the base rate. I don't want to get into all those details, but it will be much lower than 6.89%. Then that new rate will apply for the succeeding 6 months. It's based on inflation, the consumer price index. It's living proof that inflation is coming down. It was shocking to be able to get 9.62%. You must hold them for a year. And if you sell them before 5 years, you have a 3 month loss of interest. So you are going, it's a penalty. So you are going to want to hang on to these for 5 years. We don't know what interest rates will be every 6 month period for the coming, the next 4.5 years. But let's just say this, what if interest goes down to like 0.72%? Yeah. I mean, we're in a terrible economy. Then you'll probably take the penalty and take your money out and go spend it if you needed it. But you should plan to hold them for 5 years to avoid the 3 month loss of interest penalty. You must hold them for a year. How to buy them at terrysavage.com. Click on the box called Everything You Need to Know About I-Bonds. But May 1st is a Monday. Sunday is the 30th. You can't buy them Sunday. 29th is Saturday. You can't buy them. So you have to buy them before next Friday. And the phone lines were always jammed. If you already have an account, you just go online to your account and buy them. But if you haven't opened an account at treasurydirect.gov, you should do that today or tomorrow.
And an I bond is just a savings bond?
It's the old fashioned, the old Series E bonds, was olden days, I should say how long that is, used to buy them for $12.50, and then you'd get back $25 instead of $25 face value. Those are long gone. I bonds have adjustable rates. They have a fixed floor, which is currently 0.4%. They may adjust that upward a bit. And then a six-month adjustment for the, every 6 months for the life of the bond. And you get six full months, no matter whether you buy them at the beginning of that six-month period or near the end.
I found a bunch of savings bonds that my kids had when, you know, they were born.
Paper bonds?
Yeah.
Yeah, the banks won't cash them in now. Go to treasurydirect.com.
Oh, man.
And there's and just search cashing in paper bonds, and it's a rigmarole.
Great. I'm looking forward to a rigmarole. let's get one question in from Richard before we let you go. And Richard, I don't know if Terry answered your questions about the I-bond interest. Did she? Richard? Oh, my fault. My fault. Go ahead, Richard.
I understand that you can pay the interest annually on I-bonds, or you can pay when you liquidate the bonds.
You know, you can pay annually.
I meant taxes, correct. If you choose to pay annually, I don't know how to find out the date at which interest was credited. I looked all over that Treasury Direct website. I cannot find any place. I mean, I suppose one thing you'd do is just look every January 1st and see what the change was for the year, but...
Okay, let's back up.
Go ahead.
Nobody, next to nobody, there's never a really, there's some weird reasons, but basically you want to defer paying taxes on the interest. You're not taking the money out of your I-bonds. You'd have to use your other cash if you wanted to add that year's accrued interest. And yes, at Treasury Direct in my account, there will be a statement of accrued interest for the year in January if interest was credited in the previous year. Most people just started buying them recently, and so they had to wait. They bought them in November, so all the interest was coming in the fifth month because they hold back 3 months interest in case of the penalty and 1 month interest for the because they always posted a month late. So you don't start getting interest till the fifth month. So most of the people out there didn't even see anything in their Treasury Direct box about accrued interest. You probably want to hang on to them. You never pay state income taxes. Wait till you cash them in, pay the taxes at your marginal federal rate then.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Really appreciate it. Terry, it was a pleasure to be on the air with you for this hour during the Wintrust Business Lunch today. Thank you for your expertise, 847. Thank Terry for being on the radio. It's like going to a college. It's like going to a college level course in finance.
Thank you, Wendy. I love it. Thanks to WGN who puts me on here. I appreciate it.